And this is bold, but don't be afraid to fire your contractor. If he screwed you over once, or he or she
fired,
fire them. They're gonna screw you over again.
Let's help each other out. Let's build this country back to where it used to be. It's bringing people back together and investing in your communities, speaking life to people. That's the biggest thing. Care about people.
I take it to heart because I want to grow Saddlebrook so big because of I know what we stand for. I know who we are as people.
Yes.
And the bigger Saddlebrook grows, the more people will be impacted. Welcome back to the Tiny Home Podcast powered by Saddlebrook. Kyler, what's up, man?
Let's go.
Hey, the number one podcast for tiny homes in the world. Guys, before we start this episode, we have an awesome episode today. Don't forget to like the video. Hey, subscribe, hit the notification bell, and guys, comment below. It helps the algorithm. Hey, we're trying to reach thousands, millions, billions of people because we believe in our message, and I know that there's someone out there that needs to hear what we have to say today. What do you think, Kyler?
Let's do it. Hey, before we keep going, or like for real, like what you just said, hit the subscribe button, comment down below. That way we can continue to put out content that changes lives and builds dreams. So let's go.
Again.
Exciting episode.
Yeah. Guys, we have a super awesome episode today. But yeah. Kyler, before we get into the topics, I think we should talk about Hurricane Helene.
Yeah, it's you know, looking at that, I was watching videos, you know, everything that's happened in Florida, but not only that, in North Carolina, and all the deaths and the people that are still missing up in the mountains, roads getting washed out. It's looks terrible. Like, you know, how can we help? You know, I called you last night, and I'm like, you know, is there GoFundMes? Is there something that we can reach out to where we can help? You know, we build dreams, transform lives, we build homes. So is there a way? And we're going to be looking at ways where we can reach out and be able to provide what we provide. Yeah.
It's especially with what we do in our on our mission statement to create affordable homes for people to live in peace and profits. It's super sad. You know, I just checked the news today. Death toll reached 130 people across six states. This was a massive storm. It's something we shouldn't take lightly. And it's something we should do as much as we can to help. So now, if it's okay with you, I'll ask the producer, Zeke, if we can have a GoFundMe, if we can have, I mean, maybe the Red Cross, but something so you guys, the viewers, can donate as well as us here at Saddlebrook.
Yes.
It's definitely a big deal. People actually lost their homes, lost their businesses.
They lost everything.
Everything.
Yeah, and you guys know that are listening to this right now, when you lose something, when you lose something, you're like, you know, you're going through all this, these different emotions that are happening. But when you're the one that didn't lose everything, you don't feel that. You don't, you know, you're not seeing that.
Yeah.
And like, just check the news, check it, everything that's happening. There's families and kids that have literally lost everything. They've lost the pictures there.
Yeah.
They've lost family members. They've lost their clothes. They lost everything. And that it deepens my heart to want to reach out to help because it is part of our mission. It's part of what we do here at Saddlebrook. And, you know, I just have a heart for that. And it's, we'll keep everybody updated on if we donate, we'll put everything on our Instagram, we'll put on everything on the story, give y'all some links, but we're going to be reaching out, trying to find someone that we can give back to and help the community out.
And you know what you said, what right there was so true. When we're not affected by those things, especially with everything going on in the world, we are becoming more insensitive to certain things.
Correct.
So hearing that 130 people died doesn't even bother us anymore. Isn't that so insane?
Yeah.
Like, shouldn't we care about people? Like, shouldn't we care about our community? Shouldn't we care about genres of people that are struggling right now? Like, the people in North Carolina, they don't have roads. I mean, they can't escape their houses. It's full of mud, full of water. Like, why are we so insensitive to these certain things, man?
Yeah, I think the first thing that comes to my mind is people are greedy. People are not thinking of other people. They don't have that heart to want to feel like you can literally go on Google and spend 2 minutes and send, if it's $100, if it's $10, if it's $1,000, whatever it is, you don't have to send a lot of money, or you can just pray for them. You know, there's families that, like I said, again, they've lost everything. They've lost, you know, family members. Just take in consideration if you lost a family member, how did that make you feel? How did that really, like, did it give you a setback? And, you know, we can grow from this. So if you know someone, let's help each other out. Let's build this country back to where it used to be. It's unity. It's bringing people back together and investing in your communities and speaking life to people. That's the biggest thing. Care about people. Understand that people go through things, but hey, this just happened. Let's stop for a day and or for 5 seconds, take 5 seconds out of your day and go donate, because you don't know that $100 will go a long ways.
Of course, it's so crazy that we take things for granted, like water. When you don't have anything, these people over here struggling with this storm, freak storm, yep. They need water, they need food, something that we haven't accessed, something we throw out. I mean, when people think of donating food and water, they think of, yeah, let's send it to other countries, not realizing, hey, we have a 100%. Need in our home country. Yeah. Yeah. Our home country needs water. Our home country still needs food.
Yes.
And it's so crazy. And it almost makes you want to, I take it to heart, because I want to grow Saddlebrook so big because of, I know what we stand for. I know who we are as people.
Yes.
And the bigger Saddlebrook grows, the more people will be impacted.
Yes.
The bigger we grow, the more lives will change.
Love it.
And not only that, the bigger we grow, the message of Christ and the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, man, that's where it starts, man. And I think that's why people are so insensitive. They don't have the love of God anymore, you know?
Yep. I think that definitely has, you know, the world needs more prayer. The world needs more God. You know, we depend on man a lot. But if you go back to, you know, the book, the Bible, you know, that's where wisdom, that's where knowledge, that's where all that comes from. If you go back to that, the directions on how to live a life of peace and profits is all in there. And we've lost that love. Because we've gotten greedy. We've gotten just thinking of ourselves and all that. So the world needs more unity. The world needs more prayers. And you know, the thing that I look at it is it starts with one person. And it started here at Saddlebrook. We're not waiting on anybody. Yeah. We're praying for people. We're changing people's lives. And no matter what, we're going to continue to change the world. And that's why we're not playing small.
Heck yeah, man.
You can't change the world playing small. So we're playing big. We're going all out. And we're sharing. The reason we started this podcast is not only talk about tiny homes, affordable homes, the crisis, you know, all that, the news, you know, all that. We're bringing the light back to you saying, hey, buying a home is possible again. Having a family is possible again. Having a life of peace and profits is possible again. So my heart goes out to the people of all that were affected by the hurricane. Like I said, again, we're going to put down, if we find someone that we trust, that we can give to, that's going to go directly to the people that were affected, we will drop it in our story, on our Instagram, Facebook. You'll have that link. That way you can give to. And if you're watching this 2 weeks, 3 weeks later, you can still probably give to it. And it probably still goes for that, because some of the things that happened is going to take years to repair, like, you know, everything. So, yeah.
Yep. And I definitely agree. That's why I love what, I think I've mentioned this before in a prior podcast, but Stacey Wallace, right? She's so freaking awesome. And one thing that stuck with me, and when we're talking about natural disasters and the people that actually need help, not only the people, but the amount of people that need help, is like, yes, we have a big vision. Yes, we have big goals. We want to help a certain amount of people. But what's our God-sized vision?
Yeah.
Our God-sized vision is just so much greater. His plans are just so much bigger than what we can ever imagine. Yeah. Does that make sense? That's what's really going to change the world. That's what's really going to make an impact, Kyler.
Yeah, it's surrendering the things of the world and surrendering it to Him.
Heck yeah!
And you can live 100%. A life that means a lot of purpose, and that's what you can do now. As you can live, you want to live a life of peace and profits. Is God says give. Jesus says, you know, give, and you will be repaid. So let's get into it.
Heck yeah. Hey, I appreciate the topic. I feel like I need to, like, smile, because what we talked about was so devastating. Like, I need to smile, get in that mood again.
God, there were some people. Yeah, there were some people that were saying they were too serious, but I'm like,
it's the topic. How can you talk about, like, people losing everything and smile? Honestly.
Yeah.
But, I mean, we should smile. You know why? Because God is great, and we are helping people.
Yeah.
So I think
we're making a difference. Hey, you know, that's the reason we started this. We have two podcasts. The other one's called the Young CEO Podcast. That's more business type. But let's smile a little bit more.
Heck yeah, man. Let's smile. Hey, listen, we're helping so many people. We're helping over 113 people a month. Hopefully, we start helping thousands of people. And that's why we created this podcast, to kind of talk about the process of buying a tiny home. So in prior podcasts, we talked about what it is to buy a tiny home, what you need to buy a tiny home, how our tiny homes are built. I kind of want to get to the dark side of tiny home.
The dark side.
What does that mean, Kyler? So a lot of people, a lot of customers have asked us, hey, what's the unknown side of the tiny homes? What restrictions are there? What preparations? What are the other factors people have to think about when they've already purchased a tiny home? And especially with, we just did some deals in Colorado, and we're learning the hard way about restrictions. Would you agree?
Oh my, 100%. And possibly I can save you some headache, but we're figuring things out. The number one thing is, no matter what, we figure things out, and we're here for our customers. We're here for bringing the affordable American dream back to life. And that was never meant to be easy. That was never meant that it's just going to be a cakewalk. So, you know, some of the unknown things is like Colorado, snow loads, the way that they're...
Why do they need snow loads?
Yeah, so in Texas, it doesn't really snow. So we don't build them like... We have to build them like in Colorado. But so we have to make sure that you have a steep enough pitch. You have to make sure that they're engineered. You have to make sure that you go through all the county codes, and you got to get registered, and you got to do that first. And your concrete pad has to... You got frostbite, and you got all those things, which in Texas we don't have.
You talked about a pitch. What's a pitch for someone who doesn't know?
So roof pitch is how steep the pitch is, so the snow can come off.
Gotcha.
So if it's just a flat pitch, then the snow's not going to come off, and the roof would collapse.
Okay.
So everything, like let's say the state of Colorado, everything has to be engineered by an engineer and has to be stamped.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's something you don't think about as a regular buyer who just wants a home. You see, what people think about is, hey, how many bedrooms and bathrooms do I want, right? Do I want a big kitchen? Do I want a small kitchen? And do I want a big living room or a small living room?
And we can actually, like the permitting process, we can actually take that over. We have a company now. We're getting a closer relationship with them to actually take over all the permits. Mm-hmm. So working closely with them. So maybe in the future, hopefully in the future, is to where none of our customers, if you're watching this, you're not going to have to worry about that, is because we're going to handle all that side of it.
So we're A through Z. We can get all the permits for you.
We're super close. Yeah, we're super close.
You don't have to, and that's going to save the customer a lot of headache.
It's time. You know, I look at time. How much time, you know, most of you guys have, you know, companies that you work for. You got work. You got kids. You got the hustle and bustle of every single day. You're trying to get through with it. And then you've got to go do something called the unknown. Go to the permit office, right? And you're going in. You don't know what you're asking for. You don't have all your paperwork. And now, before it's all said and done, you have gone to the permit office maybe 10 times. And now you're calling me saying,
I don't know what to get.
I don't know what to get. So we're going to take that headache, working on the backside super hard and getting that taken care of so they don't have to mess with any of that.
And I don't want to confuse any of the viewers at all, but talk about like something that no one thinks about, like IRC codes. There are literally, there are restrictions to IRC that you have to build to. But if you're just a regular buyer, building your second home or your first home, you don't even think about those things.
Yeah, no, it's because, I mean, it's just the unknown. It's not something, you know, you're thinking 3-bed, 2-bath. You're thinking of what I need for my family. So what IRC means is, like right now we use IRC up to 2021 code. That is means of how they are structurally built. So it depends on, for your family's needs, you want to make sure that they're IRC up to IRC 2021 code. That means that they're going to pass all your fire codes. They're going to pass all the city codes. They're going to pass structural codes. It's everything to keep your family safe.
Yeah. So our biggest customer right now that I see, or one of the biggest, I won't say the biggest, is people trying to escape the city and simplify their life.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Where do you recommend? I mean, Texas is the number one manufacturer for tiny homes, modular, mobile, because they just want to escape city living. They want to escape expensive living. They're tired of not being able to afford Pampers. They're tired of not being able to afford milk. Where do you see it? Like, where are people moving to the most? Where's the biggest trend to where people are moving?
The rural areas, where it's easier to work with cities. You've got small towns. You've got, you know, everything's more affordable. I see a lot of people moving out. Let's say they had family land. They had, you know, 30, 40, 50 acres that was still in their family. They got inherited 1 acre, whatever it was, is to move out of the city of that hustle and bustle. Because just like, let's look at this way. If you go to an airport, what's the water cost you?
$6.
If you go to a gas, like a convenience store, what does it cost you?
$1.50.
Same thing as if you live, try to live in the city, it's going to cost you $6 versus living out in the country where you can save a dollar.
Yeah.
Right? So you can have chickens, you can have cows, you can have all these things that honestly is the way that I grew up. And I wouldn't take nothing back, is because I learned how to really work and have that work ethic and have the mindset and the real meaning behind working together and having unity and building a family, right? It's the American dream. That has all been taken away, is because, hey, you've got to go get an apartment and you got to stay by yourself, right? Yeah. So it's breaking these families up because they can't afford to, you know, to stay in one place because it's too small. But if you buy a big, you know, you buy one of our homes, you can start a community and have 10 of your family members out there and all on the same property and really start living that American dream and bring your costs back down to where you're not hustling, bustling, trying to figure out how to pay groceries, you know?
So have you ever been on Instagram and you've seen people post these family compounds where it's just a land with like five,
the coolest mansion thing I've ever seen.
It's super cool, but what I will say is don't believe everything you see on social media, right? You can have a family compound. It doesn't have, you can put six of our homes and it'll cost what one home costs in America right now.
Yeah.
And I just feel like a lot of people are getting kind of stuck in that wanting to have what other people have on social media.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
When, if you want to live close to your mom, if you want to live close to your brothers, your dad, uncles, aunts, grandparents, you can make it happen with one of our homes.
Yeah.
There's no need for more. Yep. You know what I mean? And that's a concept people it's hard to.
We got so many stories. And one story that goes back to, they were in, it was one of the home experts that sold it, but I had the opportunity to go meet the family, and I'd really got to understand what their dreams and goals were. And so this was their second one that they bought. They bought one about a year ago. We delivered it out there, and I'm like, hey, let me see pictures and let me see this. And they're showing me family pictures, and I'm like, this is super awesome, is because we're actually building dreams, transforming lives. And they just bought their second one. They're going to have their kids stay in that one. Awesome. It's a two-bedroom, awesome, two-bath, and they're going to live in this bigger one that they just bought. And I just asked the question. I said, why? Like, why are you doing this? And it was about being debt-free.
Wow.
It's about living their time with their kids, because your kids are only kids for so long.
Yeah.
You know, we work so much, so many hours, but we forget the purpose of actually living the American dream. It is working, but then having a family, having investing back in your family, and it's having that, I don't know what you call it, like that purpose of going back home, but that peace. When you can show your kids, hey, we want to be debt-free. We want to be able to, you know, grow up from our kids and when they're 1 to 7, because they're only going to be one time, right? So if you're in a stage where you're saying, hey, I want to bring my family back together, this might be for a short time, but bring your people back together, because that is truly where I think that we've gotten so divided, is the reason that all the unhappiness and, you know, the chaos and all that is, keep it simple.
Yeah.
Keep it simple.
Yeah. Oh, I just thought of something so funny when you said that the parents bought a separate home for their children.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Oh, my God. I had this customer the other day, and I tell her, hey, do you have any grandkids? You can put up a loft. She's like, oh, God, no. God, heck no. She's like, I want my kids, but I don't want them to stay.
Yeah.
I'm not putting any. There's no opportunity.
There's those people. Yeah.
There's no opportunity for them to stay if I don't have a place for them.
Yeah.
And it's so funny.
And we love those people.
Yeah, it's so awesome. Yeah. I mean, to see, like, yes, you want to enjoy your grandkids, but not too much.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So many of those, but they just want peace. They want some quietness, right?
That's it.
And it's not like you're buying 600 square feet, 700 square feet, whatever it is. There's not that much time cleaning it, you know? If you got a 3,000 square foot home.
Oh, five. Imagine five.
A five bedroom, like, you're cleaning a lot of stuff. And here's the biggest thing. Here's the biggest thing that I've seen. If you have a five bedroom home, what is the first thing you do when you move in? You've like, I've got to decorate. I've got to decorate every room. Even though I'm only going to use two, I've got to decorate the whole thing. So that's going to take money that could have been invested into an asset and liabilities. That's going to gain value over time, appreciate over time. That's going to put more money in your kids' pocket. It's going to put more money in your pocket. Now you can save. Now you can go on family vacations. Now you can actually enjoy family time. You know, all those things that you have to put into consideration is when you're buying. Is, am I going to buy what Instagram, what social media tells me to buy, or am I going to buy that what works the best for my family?
Mm.
That's the biggest.
That's so funny. I just furnished my apartment, bro. I could have taken my girl to all-inclusive in Disney World, man.
Right.
It was freaking crazy how expensive life has gotten. you can't even, well, how much did your sectional cost? You said $4,000. I mean, like, imagine people spending $4,000 and then $4,000 in this room, $4,000 in that room. I mean, I feel like we're not only a tiny home podcast, we're a financial literacy podcast.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like we should rename this Tiny Money Podcast or something. I don't know, because we're literally putting money in your pockets with this information.
I honestly want to do a poll, and maybe we'll ask the media team to put this in a poll. But I had this idea. I was driving home from the gym, and I'm like, because we're talking back and forth, and we're like, you know, we've got this customer that we help, and we've got this customer we help, and I'm talking to Zeke, and I'm like, what can I do to help every American that walks, the person that walks in here that buys a home, how can I help them financially? And I'm like, Zeke, like while they wait on the build process, what can I do? And so we're thinking of coming out with ideas that help you guys financially, to where the financial literacy that we have, that I've learned myself, is I would create this process to where you guys would be having access to all the knowledge that I have about financial literacy, how to save money, how to invest your money, and really how to make your money work for you. So guys, we're working on the back end, but if you guys, let's do a poll on the back end, how many people would want to see that of our customers, and we'll see if it's worth it. If it's worth it, then we'll get it done.
Yeah.
So we're more than just a tiny home podcast.
I'll vote yes on that, because it's crazy that you're right. No one even thinks about furnishing a home. These, like I said, that's why I love this episode so much. We're talking about the things that people don't think. Hey, buying a tiny home or just buying a home in general is not just buying the home.
Right.
There's nothing worse than buying a home and then living.
Then what do you, that's it. It's
yeah. And that's a perfect segue to what I wanted to talk about. What are the other factors of when people buy a tiny home? Yes, they come to you, they say, hey, Kyler, I have 5 acres. Here's $100,000. I want to buy this 18 by 42. What's the next step for them with their land for preparation?
It's going to be, number one, it's going to figure out, can I get into the property? Do I have 5 acres? Do I have an acre? And how can I get in the property? Do you have a fence up? Do you have a gate up? If the gate's able to come down, let's say you buy an 18 by 40 and the house is 18 foot wide and the gate's 16 foot wide, common sense means that, hey, we got to either take it down or we got to go to a smaller size. Do we have trees in the way? You know, I'm looking for trees. I'm looking
for the land clearing. We have to prepare the land.
Yes. Yeah. Preparing the land for where you want to put the home. And then third of all, you have, like, what kind of foundation do you want to have? Once we figure out concrete foundation, dirt foundation, gravel foundation, what kind of foundation do we want to have? And then number four is figuring out, okay, do I have septic and water, or do I have to bring it in?
Yeah.
And where's my electric at? So some of those things, maybe those need to be number one, figuring out, do you have electric, septic, and plumb, you know, do you have all that stuff already on the property, or am I going to have to put that, if you have to put it in the financing, if you're here for financing, we can put all that, bundle it all in. And then after that, it's figuring out, do I want to build a porch, a deck, mm-hmm. right?
Talk some about utility things. Hookups.
Yeah. Utility hookups, you know, if you got your electric, you got your water, and then you got your septic. Some of those things, we can either do those or we can let you guys do it. Some of the people that come in here, they already know how to do it. So
yeah.
They've already done it, you know, all their lives. So they're like, you know, we know how to do that. I've got a story in Houston, getting her home, and her daughter was like, no, I know how to do that. I'm going to dig it with a ditch witch and I'm going to dig my water and my PEX and all that. And I'm like, okay, you surprised me. I didn't know you know all this stuff. But so there's people that know the things, how to hook up these things.
Yeah.
So like, let's talk a little bit about the hookups for the septic. Let's just stay on that topic. Is you've got water. So our water has one connection, super simple to connect. It's just a PEX, one connection, hook it up. And then wherever your water connection is coming in from the outside. And then your plumbing. So every drain, we have a drain that's, let's say the sink is over here. We've got toilet in the back of the house. We've got another sink over here. Those drains are just going to go directly down and stop.
Mm.
Because you have to have a drain that has a slope. So the water, the gray water and dark, it can all slope down.
Yeah.
So you're bringing all those together and then it goes into your septic tank.
Yep.
Yeah.
And we don't even realize how important this information is.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about size, homes, price, but hey, let's talk about, hey, getting water in your home. There's no point in buying a house if you can't have water, electric.
Right. Because let's say you're doing a concrete pad. You have to figure out, okay, where do I need my pipe sticking up out of the concrete?
Yeah.
Where do I need my water? Because once you have a solid concrete pad,
no going back.
No going back unless you want to dig out and cut out your concrete.
Heck no.
No. You don't want to do that. So
that's not financially literate.
No. So we want to make sure we do the steps the correct way. So when the house gets there, we had a customer that hooked up everything the day of and was moved in the next day.
Oh, yeah. He was prepared for sure.
Very prepared.
And I love how you mentioned financing, because I did want to talk about that. You can actually add that in your loan.
Yep.
So you don't have to come out of pocket.
No.
That's insane.
That's an awesome thing that we just added to our financing, is to be able to bundle all those things in.
Yeah.
That way, you know, if you're living to where you don't have $30,000 saved up, and or you don't want to have that extra expense after the house gets there, you can bundle it all in your payments. And we had a customer story that bought a one bedroom, one bath. His payments are going to be around $1,000.
Oh yeah. $1,000 and
we have people that are getting approved for $700 a month, $1,000 a month, $1,500 a month, depending on what size house you get, and of course what your credit score is.
Yeah. And by the way, I should mention it is $1,000, but you know, he only went 15 years.
Yeah, he did not go 30.
He
so
did not go 30 years.
They all determine on the length of he wants to put the title. He wants to put it back in his name faster.
Yeah.
So it depends on how fast you want to pay it off.
Of course. And that's an important topic to talk about, because people have told me, hey, I have enough money for a down payment. I don't have enough to run septic, run electric, and then actually hook up the utilities to my property. So we're at Saddlebrook, we're eliminating all of that.
Yes.
And to be honest, it's an amazing story how we got financing. We should give a shout out to our CEO, Colton.
Yeah, he took
meeting after meeting after rejection after rejection after rejection to get that one yes, to get that one company who believed in us.
The biggest thing is getting 20 no's. Getting 20 no's.
Insane.
It's not N-O-S, it's K-N-O-W-S.
There you go.
You get 20 no's and you figure out so much in the process.
Yeah. Right? Talk about that, K-N-O-W-S.
That's everything. If you don't know something, shoot for 20 no's. A lot of people think, oh, someone told me to get 20 no's. Go knock on 40 doors and get 20 no's. Every door you knock, you're going to get no's. K-N-O-W-S. You're going to learn something about yourself that you didn't know about the last door.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's everything about tiny homes. That's about shopping for homes. Let's say you're looking for a home, contractors and all that. Get 20 no's. Get 3 no's. Get 3 quotes. The same thing. Get 3 quotes.
It's like you're reading my notes, because this is a perfect segue into what I wanted to talk about, is picking out your contractor to build your home.
Yeah, going back to financing, I missed one point.
Okay, yeah.
Own your own land. If you don't own your own land, then you can still come in. We can figure out a way how to get around it. If you don't have your own land now and you've just bought a lot, there's a different type of financing that we do. So if you're interested, if you have your own land, amazing. If you don't have your own land, still come talk to me. Let me see if I can help you out.
Yeah.
Does that help?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Actually, let's stick to financing, because now I have another question. You're right. We do have two types of financing. It's third-party financing, but we have a great relationship with them. It's super quick, super easy, and we'll guide you through all of it. One is an actual 30-year mortgage, right?
Yes.
So if you are interested in the 30-year mortgage, traditional loan, you know, all your hookups inside,
yes,
I recommend our 30-year mortgage. But what's actually super cool is that we have this other, oh man, should I share secrets? Kyler, should I share secrets? And this is big.
So the biggest thing, so what we're trying to do is we're not trying to be up to compliance. We have to, there's words that we can speak in the finance in the world.
Yeah.
The biggest thing is just call us.
Yeah.
And we'll give you the rundown on the different finances we have. The reason we did this is to help you guys out, to help the people that don't have all the cash that can do fast financing, or the longer route where we're going a longer way.
100%. Yeah. Last question on financing is, what are the biggest challenges customers have faced with trying to finance?
Credit, down payment.
Yeah.
Land.
Land.
Land's probably the biggest thing.
So what about the land?
Just not owning it, or not the deed's not in their name.
Okay, yeah.
You know, if the deed's not in your name, let's say it's in your grandpa's name.
Yeah.
We're either going to need your grandpa to co-sign, or he's going to need to deed you the land.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Simple. So it's something to keep into consideration, because we also, a problem we've ran into is like trust land, like land that's in a trust, family land. Can we do that?
We just did. Yeah. So it finally got out and it got deeded to them.
Nice.
So there's, like I said, if the trust did it, then everybody has to be on the loan.
Okay.
Yes.
Gotcha. Yeah. So guys, that's just something to look out for. But before we get into this super important topic about contractors, I want to encourage you to subscribe, like, and comment.
Hit the like button, dude. Every episode,
we get more comments. Hey, I needed this question answered. I needed the other question answered. But if you do not comment, we cannot know what you're thinking. And also, it helps us with the algorithm.
Yeah.
Algorithm is everything. There is a person out there that needs to hear this, but it won't happen without your help, guys. So please comment, subscribe, turn on your notification bell so you never miss our beautiful faces. And yeah, let's get to the topic of...
We're smiling more. I'm feeling good this morning.
My teeth are hurting right now.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not even going to lie. I'm smiling. Like,
Oh my goodness. Let's go to the dark side of that. So we're talking dark side and we're still smiling.
Yeah, I know, right? Like, we're low-key psycho talking dark side on anyway.
Let's go to the dark side. Yeah. Let's go.
Contractors. Biggest issue people run into.
Yeah.
I mean, people run into contractor issues when they're remodeling a bathroom.
Oh my goodness.
Let alone building a home from the ground up.
Yeah.
What are the top three? Actually, let's not even get ahead of ourselves. What are some of the top things people have to look out for when contracting for their home?
Vet the contractor. And first of all, before I get into that, you know, I don't like speaking bad about anybody. And this is for all you contractors. Step your game up. Step your game up. And let's be real. Be honest with people. If you give them a quote, stick with your quote, right? Compare apples to apples. Like, I'm so sick of people getting ripped off and not being told the truth and not being honest with them and just trying to close the deal. And like, I understand that, but it's time for us contractors to step up and give our customers the customer care that they need. Be honest with them. Give them everything up front. Hey, this is what it's going to take. Hey, I can't build on this place because of this, this, and this. Be honest with them. Don't just take their money and then run. Be honest with them. Show up. Take care of your customers, right? If you're doing too much, then say, hey, say no sometimes, right? That's number one. I don't like talking bad about anybody because I believe in people, and I believe that people can do better. I believe some contractors just don't see it.
Yeah.
The economy is shifting fast, and everybody's hustle, bustle, struggling, and they're trying to just make it work for the families. But I'm telling you, the number one secret for contractors is just care about your customers. Listen to them, what they want, right? Biggest thing for contractors is for a customer that's watching is there's a lot of scams going on. There's a lot of people acting like contractors and all that. Bet them. Let's get on a FaceTime. Let's get on a call. And then give me three referrals. Simple. Give me three referrals or four referrals, whatever you want, and call them and say, can you send me some job sites that you did? Let me go watch. Let me go see. Let me go see the product, right? For sure, if you're building a home, is because a home is something you're going to live in for the rest of your life. So taking this into consideration is the number one key is picking out your contractor to make sure that they're going to fit your needs and they're going to be able to help you out.
Yeah. And one of the biggest things I've run into is people telling me their contractor asking for more money. And Zeke, our producer, can actually, I don't know if he can share this, but we've had text of people saying, I wish I would have gone with you guys because X, Y, and Z happened.
Yep.
But once you go with a contractor, I mean, our job is to put you in the best position to win. After that, really, it's up to you.
Yes.
But I have seen that a lot, and maybe you could talk about it, maybe a story you've seen. They are super happy because they think they found the correct contractor that quoted them out at $100 a square foot, which is insanely, right, cheap. And then they ask for $25,000, $35,000, $40,000 more. What are your thoughts on that, man?
Yeah, so it's just a tactic that they use to get you in the door. As a tactic that, hey, we can do this and this. They need work and all that. Then before too long, you know, they get another job and all that. But it's a tactic that has worked a long time. But more and more people are like, you know, hey, we signed a contract. And that's what happens when you sign a contract with us is that's it. That's the money that you're going to spend. So being upfront, you know, if your contractor's not being upfront and it's being shady and not giving you all the details and like, hey, this is what it is. And then you're just signing contracts and you don't feel good inside that, hey, this is the right person. This is a funny, just ask your wife what she thinks. Does it feel good or does it not, right?
The wife's
she can probably tell.
They have like that third instant, like spidey senses.
Yeah. But I've had contractors a long time and, you know, contracts, not only do they price you one thing and then a month later be like, no, it's going to be $25,000 more. Like we did this. Yeah,
bro.
And it's like, because now you have to do it because you're already in it this far. So you have to do it. So vet out your people. And then if you have a good feeling about them, look at their work, see what they're doing. And just make sure that they're honest, because there's a lot of people that say they'll do something and they won't do it.
And this is bold, but don't be afraid to fire your contractor.
Yeah.
Really. If he screwed you over once, or he or she
fired,
fire them. They're going to screw you over again, right? There's no reason to keep them. And I see that, you know, it's crazy because you're betraying someone's trust. They're trusting you and they don't fire you. And then the contractor just betrays their trust again, which is insane. And I think another big thing that I've seen is lead times. Insane lead times waiting. They tell you 8 months and they don't deliver your home until like a year, 13 months in.
And a lot of that.
I want to say this. Sorry, real quick. Sorry to interrupt. Our lead time is 3 to 4 to 5 months, depending on if you go with financing or you pay cash. There's different variables there. How are we able to keep our lead time so low? Some people don't even believe it.
That's because we built a big facility and we build all the homes inside. So in that build process, no matter if it's raining, pouring down rain, snowing, sleeting, doesn't matter. We're building no matter what.
And our system, I want to applaud our systems and processes.
Yeah, the systems, processes, how to build them.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, a lot of contractors don't have systems and processes because they have a small business or they just don't know. So a system and a process could be, here's how to put a plug in. Here's how this person does this. So your home is moving along at a faster rate is because you have a system on how everything gets put together. Yeah.
And systems and processes even has to do is like, how do you take care of your workers?
Yeah.
On a lot of on-site builds, we've seen the workers quit mid-build, which is insane because contractors are they're taking on too much. They're taking on more than they can chew, and they're under-delivering not only to their customer but to their employees, right? So it's so insane. I just had someone, I quoted someone out. They said, hey, we don't really want a tiny home, but we want one of your homes, 2,200 square foot home. Insane.
Yeah.
How in the world do we keep our price per square foot at 120, 130, 140? And you know what she told me? She's like, they're from Midland, Texas. They're like, I can't get a home built for less than $200 to $300 a square foot. How do we do it, bro? Tell me.
Number one, we got some of the, first of all, our team. We got some of the best team. Give a shout out to the team back there, our purchasing team. We're buying materials at a bulk. We're buying, you know, a contractor will go to Home Depot, Lowe's. They'll just buy you'll just buy lumber from, you know, because they're building 1 to 10 homes at a time.
Yeah.
We're building, you know, we've got, you know, if you sell 100 people in a month, you're building 100 homes. You're bringing in a lot of material. 100%. So those bulk prices, we're getting stuff at bulk. We're getting stuff at cheaper prices than anybody is because we're buying by the truckloads, right? So we just share the savings that we have here, we share them with them.
Yeah.
So all in return, you know, companies have to make profit. We make enough profit to make sure that we take care of them in the long run.
Yeah. And people don't think about the small savings, like how many 2x4s go in your house. If we at Saddlebrook could save you 50 cents off each 2x4, imagine how much money we're saving you.
Yeah.
Just 50 cents off your 2x4. Or $5 off your window. How much money? And it all adds up, you know?
No.
And I love what we're doing here, man. What's next for us, man?
It's continued, just like you just said, is bringing out bigger modular homes.
Yeah.
So going to 2,200 square feet, 2,400 square feet for you guys that have 7 kids in your family or 9 kids in your family.
Yeah.
That need 5-bedroom or 4-bedroom, whatever. Or just want more space. We want to be able to help you guys out. But it's like, just like I tell everybody, this is not just a company. This is not just another company. This is not a fly-by-night company. We're here for the long run. It's a movement. We're here to change people's lives and to make a difference.
Heck yeah, man. And before I close the podcast out, bro, our reach has become nationwide. We can't keep up with the people that are coming to us. I have people from, the other day, someone asked
me. Give God all the glory and honor.
Yeah, amen. Yeah. Hey, man, you want to know something crazy?
What's that?
I had someone from Hawaii reach out.
And
I'm like, okay, that we.
I would have put it on a ship or something.
I would expect that person to understand. I don't know if we could put this on a boat, but I think we should talk about it because there's, like, where do we deliver to? Let's set the standard. Let's set the bar straight. Where do we deliver to now?
Arkansas, Louisiana, Texas, Oklahoma, Georgia, Mississippi, Alabama, New Mexico.
Get your notepad out, guys.
Colorado.
Hey, start writing this down.
Arizona, Missouri, and then North Carolina and South Carolina.
North Carolina, South Carolina.
Yeah.
I guess the only option is to expand.
And then Iowa. Iowa's another one.
Iowa, awesome. Hey, we got to expand, man. There's a lot of people that need our product. And
guys, comment down below. If you have friends, family in different states, share this with them. And if we have enough demand in places where y'all need affordable homes, reach out to us, and we'll see if we can help you out.
Yes. Yeah.
If we can't, sir, if I didn't give you a state that we can't do right now, we will make sure that we help you vet out other companies that make sure that you get the product that you need.
Exactly.
Yes.
And I love that you said that we'll help you vet out other companies. Didn't we talk about that two podcasts ago? What if we unified with the people that actually wanted unity? You talked about greed. Companies are just looking out for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
What we want to do is bigger than ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? What if we found great people with alike mindsets in Pennsylvania, let's say, or Wyoming, or Montana, or some of these states with the same vision? We can reach more people. So guys, if you're not only a customer, but a company that wants to join Saddlebrook, that wants to join this insane God-sized vision that we're bringing, hey, reach out, right? Why not? Let's talk. Let's see what we can do.
Let's do it.
And hey, man, that's all I have for today. Is there any closing statements you want to make?
My prayers are with anybody that's been affected with Helene. Let's get a solution on that.
Yeah.
And have an amazing week.
Let's do it.
Love you guys.
Hey, there's so many people to help, so let's kill it.
Oh, goodness.
Guys, this was we just finished out Tiny Home Podcast, number one tiny home podcast in the world. This is Chris. Kyler, we're heading out. Hey, listen, comment, subscribe, turn on the notification bell, and like, guys. We'll see you on the next episode.
Peace.
If you enjoyed this video, drop a like. If you have any questions we didn't answer, drop a comment. And guys, tune into next week's episode where we will continue to educate you about the tiny home industry.